Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Now available on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Some women's groups were wondering why you would bring Antonio Brown in. Have you had conversations with anybody on that front? And what would you say to them about that?
The Rich Eisen Show.
I've answered that one a few times, Rich, and all I can ask them to do is trust me on it.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles. Earlier on the show, ESPN college basketball analyst Jay Billis, co-host of Good Morning Football, Kyle Brandt, coming up, host of the Knuckleheads podcast, Darius Miles and Quentin Richardson. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Okay, hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. We've packed a lot into the first 2 hours of this show called And Then There's Mauve. I've been wearing a mauve sweater all day. We packed in a lot in this show. Jay Billis joined us in hour number one. It's now 5 hours till the NBA draft starts, and the commissioner, who is going to be on the set there in Bristol, Connecticut.
That's cool. I like that.
You know, as opposed to being in his basement.
I saw that
like, the commissioner was for the NFL
with the
draft.
Hats. You know, we've been talking about the hats in the NBA
right.
a lot. They were sent, each prospect was sent a locker with all 30 teams.
Right.
Hat. So when they're drafted, they can put
so they
can
put the hat on.
Right.
And then probably put the other hat of the team that they're going to play for on.
Exactly.
Right? So they'll take two of the 30 hats on.
Right.
The hat of the team that drafts them, and then the hat of the team that
they end up with.
That they end up with. Or, you know what they could do, you know, if they want to take the commissioner out of the equation, which nobody does, but they could do it like, you know, a high school recruit.
Have them at a table.
Have them all on the table.
Have them on the table.
Yeah.
Or have four of them on the table.
I like that.
And they tell him which one he's been drafted to, and he picks the hat.
Yeah.
Or he picks the hat of the team he wants to go to, and then the commissioner reveals he was drafted by just to create more awkward moments.
You have to put the hat there.
Look at that idea. Like just workshopping. Just spitballing.
Or if they put their hand in the bag and the hat that they pull out is the team that they go to.
Okay.
How about that?
Like totally random.
Totally random.
Yeah. Ah, and you could freeze the Knicks hat.
There yes.
So you don't pick it.
Put the Knicks hat in the freezer.
So you know not to take it.
So you can stay away from it.
So you could stay away from it.
Oop, the cold one. Don't touch that one.
Hey, the Knicks made a move, though, last night. They traded up to the 23 spot.
Okay.
28, so they now have two. They have two first-round picks.
Hey.
And so, you know.
Well, they had two first-round picks that they traded up from 28.
Right, they had two first-round picks, but they swapped
to
get up a little bit higher.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah so.
No kidding. What'd they give up? The Rockettes? What do you do?
he gave up
the rights to the Forum.
The rights to the
Forum.
Well, the rights to the Forum are gone, right?
Yeah. Uncle Steve bought that.
Yeah.
That's right.
That's right.
Rich, you know who else is getting drafted
tonight?
R.J. Hampton, who came in last year. Remember,
he
went to New Zealand. He came in studio for this. He's probably going to go probably in the top 20.
Yeah, he's a mid-round projection. Yeah, he's in that 15
Have that
20 range.
Video ready. We'll tweet that out from at Rich Eisen Show.
Because
I was like looking smart. And I thought I was real smart to have Kevin O'Leary call into the show to read the Riot Act to you guys and back my play as a CEO of being respected on this pizza problem that we've had here on this show. And
I wouldn't call it a
problem.
He
said that your actions of leaving me out shows how you feel about me as the CEO of this operation. Called me an amoeba, like a single-celled
that was
person.
Harsh. That was harsh.
That was a little bit much.
No, saying that I couldn't go any lower. That's why he's Mr. Wonderful.
I mean,
I love that show.
Shark Tank's phenomenal.
Every Friday.
Oh, yeah. But I just, like, you know, wanted to reach into my bag of tricks.
I'm a little shocked. I didn't know you had a relationship with Mr. Wonderful.
Well, Mr. Wonderful was here on this show.
I know that.
It's one of my favorite top five moments in the history of this show.
Classic.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah.
That was very awkward for me, but yeah. I mean, it was fun.
Roll it, Mike. Go for it. Mike Del Tufo is standing at a microphone that's about, I'd say, 20 feet away.
Yep.
Looking right at Mr. Wonderful of Kevin O'Leary of Shark Tank. Go for it, Mike Del Tufo.
What happens if, like, something happens to me and 2,500 miles away, my family's there, and they don't know? I could be sitting in the apartment alone, dead for days. So I came up with an idea for an app called Just In Case. that would be basically you download it and you could check in with this app and other people could see that, A, you're alive still. You could basically be tracked with it.
Just to get the whole story before I completely eviscerate you.
Go ahead.
How would you make money doing this?
You a subscription per month.
People are going to pay per month.
99 cents per month. Very cheap.
If your mom calls you for 2 days and doesn't get an answer, she's probably going to call the super and say, go check on his corpse. Like, think about it. They don't need 99 cents a month for that.
But in theory, wouldn't you want, if it's something you don't have to do,
Mike,
other people can check
when you're
in?
You're dead. Like, who cares?
How does the app know you're dead?
The app doesn't know you're dead.
You have to tell it you're not dead.
The app would tell you that you're not checking in. Every time you unlock your phone, it would ping, and you put people on a list that know that if, like, your mother's in Florida, she could be sitting in the house. You know that at least she's checked in on her phone. If you're their kid, you don't have to talk to him on the phone. You don't have to call him. And if it's a kid, you know the kid.
If you think you're, if you're worried your mother's dead, why don't you call her?
Well, let's say
mother, Mike.
People don't call their mother and father and live 2,500 miles away every day.
I just want to make sure you're not dead. Like, are you kidding? You should call your mother every day.
No. I'm talking about, like, all day. You don't know.
Oh, you want to know the exact moment your mother
died. You can check in. You know that they've actually. Exactly.
Kevin O'Leary.
Horrifically bad. Really bad. Really bad.
I tried.
Oh, you are so nervous, too. You didn't want to do it at first. We had to twist your arm to do it.
Plan. I had less than 24 hours. If I had, I would have had, like,
that was your issue? Like,
yeah. If I had a couple producers write it up, I would totally sell that app. They have the app on the Apple phone, Rich. It's called Find My Friends. It exists. I was going to the next level of Find My Friends. And that's actually not a bad app right now. COVID, it could tell you if you got a COVID test. Oh, my friend's clean. All right, I'm good. You know, it would be perfect. I'm trying. I'm reaching. I'm sorry. I couldn't.
Well, it got cut out of that because, you know, we had to cut it down to like 2 minutes for time purposes. What did he say? He said when he came up with the idea, he was sitting at home by himself with his friends.
With
right?
all my friends. That was my first line.
That was it. As soon as you said that,
I was home alone on the couch with all my friends.
That's right. That's what it was.
And I wanted to say I was home alone, and then all of a sudden a couple friends came. I kind of,
it was just over.
I was bad on TV back then.
It's a wrap.
I couldn't speak well.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm better now.
You are better now. You're vastly improved.
I sucked on TV back then.
You are. You're right.
I did, though. At least I can admit it.
Do you have a news update, Christopher? You got that all ready for us? Because we got Darius Miles and Q. Quentin Richardson, who I spoke to on Zoom. I hadn't spoken to them literally in 2 decades, I don't think. That's coming up still here on the Rich Eisen Show on NBA Draft Wednesday. Let's get to Chris Brockman's news update right here on the show.
And now, with a report of the day's news from the world of sports and entertainment, someone who is not a journalist or newsman by any definition of the word whatsoever, it's Chris Brockman.
Go for it, sir.
Holy smokes. We're trying to effort this, but Justin Herbert just got a haircut.
I just sent it to the guys back at home.
Yeah, me too. It's really not good, so we're going to show that.
Okay. No, it's fine. I mean, he looks younger now. He literally looks like he's 15 years old.
It looks like Anakin Skywalker. He looks terrible. But we'll get to that in a minute. A Drew Brees,
he looks terrible.
A Drew Brees update after some additional tests on Tuesday. No change in Drew Brees' status. Cracked ribs on both sides and a punctured lung. Likely out at least 2 weeks.
I don't know how that's possible.
The Saints are saying.
Guy's 41.
Then we'll see how he feels, they said. So yeah, Jameis Winston coming up for the next 2 weeks for the Saints.
What's Taysom Hill going to look like?
I think they're probably going to do the exact same thing they have been doing, right?
Which is just, but no more of Taysom removing Jameis.
I think
there?
It depends on how Jameis is playing, right? If Jameis is, you know, turning the ball over and airmailing guys, then we might see a little bit more of Taysom Hill. But I think they'll probably just mix him in how they've been doing it with Drew. That would be my guess.
I know I keep mentioning this, so I need to get there right now. You know, but Jameis Winston in his career against Atlanta is. I mean, he has performed well against them, man. I remember one Thursday night game where I think Lovie Smith and the Buccaneers got blown out 1 year. I think that happened the year that Lovie was there. And then other than that, he's done well. Yeah, he beat him in 2016 a couple times, I think. I mean, he's used to it.
So career against Atlanta, Jameis is 4-5.
Okay.
completing 66%.
You got the numbers.
Only 9 picks, 25 touchdowns.
I'm telling you, man.
And a 109 passer rating. So he's played well against Atlanta in the past.
I'm telling you. And they play 2 out of the next 3 weeks?
Almost 300 yards per game.
Okay. All right, here's the photograph of Justin Herbert. And for the radio audience, I will say he looks like one of the kids in Stand By Me.
That's great. Perfect.
Literally.
Perfect.
He looks like one of the kids in Stand By Me.
I don't even recognize him.
Well, the long hair is now just short, sort of a buzz, in a way. And, you know, his he does look like one of the kids in Stand By Me.
So Daniel Popper, who covers the Chargers for the Athletics,
wow,
said
what
that
a look.
Herbert said that strength and conditioning coach John Lott,
who
we know from the combine, he's in charge of the bench.
Come on, Oregon.
Cut his hair.
Come on, Duck.
Said, quote,
John Lott did the haircut?
John Lott did the haircut. He said he was good with the Clippers, Herbert said. I think he did a good job. He did not do a good job. You got butchered.
Note to
self?
Anybody. Or self. Yeah, you're right. Self. Note to self. Never let a strength and conditioning coach cut your hair. Never. And I know John Lott. I would never let John Lott cut
John
my hair.
Lott, yeah.
So is that a 2, Mike? Is that a 2? Did he just do a 2?
Yeah, I do a 2. That's a 2-1.
Jeez.
That's a buzz.
Herbert looks like he plays 2 guard for Hickory High right now.
He does look like Coach Dale is putting him in the game.
Yeah,
that's
shooting
true.
Off the picket.
But he does look like one of the kids from Stand By Me, and the Jets will give him 2 for flinching this very weekend.
he looks like Ricky Rowe from Blue Chips.
He definitely wears Chuck Taylor's. White high-top Chuck Taylors.
It's a choice.
And he passes it 4 times before shooting.
John Lott, who is one of the first ever TV stars of the Combine, when we mic'd him up on NFL Network, barking at all of the prospects as they were trying to put up as many reps of 225 as possible.
My goodness. Come on, Pirate!
And I saw him at the Combine this year. He was giving me some thoughts about my run. He watched me work out. We were in the same...
He was so good when we would show
hotel gym together. I would never, ever let him touch my head, ever. Tell me how to, get ready. You know, I was listening to him intently about warming up, stretching, all that stuff. Strength and conditioning advice, yes.
Hair cutting?
Stylists, no. The one word I would use for John Lott, if I said you got to use one word for John Lott, intense. Energetic. Stylist would not be one of them. No, I wouldn't say he's a stylist.
Nope.
I wouldn't even say he's a strength stylist. I wouldn't even use that word for strength. He's a conditioning stylist.
Strength and conditioning.
Wow.
That seems like the haircut you get at the beginning of camp.
Right,
As a rookie.
How about this now? I know you probably have other items going
on. It's fine.
There.
Go ahead.
Okay. Is there, honestly, the most superstitious group of people I've ever met are... Our athletes. I've never met a more superstitious group than professional athletes. I guess maybe gamblers would be next. Maybe. Like, I got to sit at this part, or I moved from this couch to here.
Right.
You know, that sort of stuff.
Yeah. My lucky that.
All that. But professional athletes, and in my book that's probably available at dime stores, if dime stores exist anymore, I interviewed a whole book. Don't look it up. I've taken enough L's from the pizza and all that stuff. Okay.
Okay.
You're doing Rudy memes on this show. Okay. It's you can get it for cheap, less than a dollar. But I interviewed a whole bunch of players who I was, friends with and covering at the time, back in the mid-aughts, asking them their pregame routines. Dion would, put his uniform on the floor, everything down to his socks and underwear, and he would walk around it in the locker room, thinking of the greatness that was going to come when he put this uniform on. I mean, Terrell Davis, I think, took a bubble bath the night before. That's a fact. Marshall Faulk would take a nap.
Had to happen.
Honestly, this is what everybody had routines. Every last one of them had routines. And Collinsworth, what Collinsworth told me with the routine? He would go up to the ambulance on the field and say, "You're not taking me out of here today."
Interesting.
That's what he told me.
Wow.
That's in the book.
Rich, good news. There's only one left of your book on Amazon. Only one left in stock. Order now.
That's great. Single sell book. Got it.
Just saying.
But the reason why I bring this up is Herbert's been on a roll.
That's what I mean.
Like, is there
like
no concern? I know kids don't know what they don't know, and they feel they're impervious to what normally, but that's bold. You know what this means? And I'm gonna make this about me because it is my show. If the Jets get their first win of the year,
exactly,
because Herbert cut his hair, I'm gonna lose my mind. Does that make me superstitious? Like, what's different? What's different about this week?
Yeah, the guy who's falling out, the rookie of the year,
suddenly
cut
the
his
Jets,
hair.
Suddenly the Jets cut him down to size because he got his strength and conditioning coach cut his hair. What are you doing, Justin?
By the way, what if his helmet is, like, too big? And
what
it's, like,
yeah,
lopping around
to
it. Now
what's the last time? Exactly.
It?
Yep.
What are we doing?
What is he doing?
Terrible advice.
It just finally dawned on me. What's different about the Jets this week? It's the quarterback's hair from the other team.
Other team. He's got a Flacco haircut.
Can't throw a pass.
Honestly, he looks like Stand By Me.
He can't get into an R-rated movie right now.
No, it's, I bet.
Can't buy beer, lottery tickets.
Yeah, he looks like the kids that asked me to buy them beer in the Sports Center commercial from James K. Polk High. That's what he looks like. Mr. Eisen, can you buy me some beer? That's what he looks like.
That's great. All right, just some injuries real quick. Cleveland Farrell from the Raiders, Rich, he tested positive for COVID-19.
Oh, no.
So he is on the reserve list, likely out for Sunday. Safety LaMarcus Joyner was a close contact, so if he has a string of negative tests, he could be playing against Kansas City. Keep an eye on that. Panthers officially ruled out Christian McCaffrey.
Uh-huh.
A little more on that Giants Joe Judge Mark Colombo kerfuffle. Kim Jones said no report of a fight. Giants also denied that. Mark Garofalo said the Giants were planning to bring in Dave.
Let me help you out.
I can't say this name.
Let me help you out with this. By the way, he is a terrific offensive line coach. Dave DeGuglielmo.
So he's coming in to work alongside Colombo with the offensive line. Colombo's reaction to that led to the dismissal today.
Yeah, and DeGuglielmo comes from the Patriots.
Right.
Right, and Colombo came with Garrett.
From the Cowboys.
So it wasn't fisticuffs, it was a nasty yelling match, huh?
Yes. By all reports and what the Giants are saying. A couple other injuries for Seattle. Big game tomorrow night against Arizona. That's going to be an awesome
that
game.
Is going to be lit.
So let's keep an eye on this. Chris Carson, who's missed the last couple of weeks, got in a limited session yesterday at practice, expected to be a full go today. Tyler Lockett, however, did not practice yesterday. He has gone back-to-back days without practicing, according to Pete Carroll, who said it was a little bit of a knee sprain. Severity is unknown, so keep an eye on that. If Lockett does not go today, that's not a good sign that he's going to suit up on Thursday for fantasy purposes. Kenny Golladay returned to practice for the Lions, and the Chiefs signed DeAndre Baker to the practice squad. Former first-round pick got let go by the G-men after being involved in an extortion thing. All charges dropped against him.
Mm-hmm. That game tomorrow night, man. We're going to talk about it all day tomorrow. I mean,
we're going to talk about it all day tomorrow.
I know,
Chris,
for sure.
I'm sorry. Who signed DeAndre?
Chiefs practice squad.
He'll wind up playing.
Yeah, I got to imagine. I mean, he's first round talent.
So. Seattle's got a nice, softer part of the schedule after this Thursday night. They got a Monday nighter in Philly. Then they're back-to-back at home against the New York teams, Giants and Jets, Washington, Rams, 49ers. If they win this game, I mean, again, we've got a ton of real estate to discuss it tomorrow, but there's so much on the line tomorrow night. It really is a great Week 11 kickoff. It is dynamite.
Man, I just don't see them losing three in a row.
Neither do I. But that's Kyler Murray coming in with a nice head of steam, isn't it?
Kyler Murray now, Rich, fourth in MVP betting now. Fourth.
I just want to say I know what I'm talking about. Okay, so
you nailed Lamar. You're way out in front of Kyler Murray. You know, you're tapped in.
Okay.
You're tapped in.
I know. Look, I've got an eye for talent.
You're tapped in.
Quentin Richardson and Darius Miles, two guys drafted 15 picks apart 20 years ago. Co-hosts on a podcast called Knuckleheads. Season 5 just dropped. We'll chat with them when we come back on draft day.
Support for this podcast comes from Pluto TV. Ready to get away from it all? Free yourself with Pluto TV. Stream hundreds of channels and thousands of movies and shows all for free. Yeah, free. No contracts, no subscriptions, no fees. Imagine 24/7 channels of Narcos, CSI, Star Trek, Survivor, and everything else from hit movies to binge-worthy TV shows, the latest news, live sports, comedy, and more. What are you waiting for? Download the free Pluto TV app for Android or iPhone and start watching now. Pluto TV. Drop in, watch free.
EyesInStore.com. Be the first on your block with one of these babies. T-shirts, both long and, of course, short sleeve in white or heather gray. We've got hats, hats, people. And, of course, start your day with a cup of joe and a Rich Eisen Show coffee mug. Go to RichEisenStore.com and shop your head off right now. RichEisenStore.com. Absolutely. You know what I want to do? I'll just use this time. I want to do let's shoot a video. I'll get a bunch of the material. Mugs and shirts.
Mm-hmm. Sweet. Fashion and, show. We should do a calendar.
I know Dan does that every year, and it's very popular.
Oh, they do?
Yeah. What months would you want? July is your birthday.
July. Well, TJ and I could do a July because we have the same birthday, so we could do a co-July. That'd be
okay, great.
Right? And Cage has February, so I'd want February as well.
Okay.
March.
I'm June. Then what?
Then we just kind
just of blank
fill,
the rest
we just
of the
kind
months.
Of fill it out.
Yeah.
Oh, those are the only months that matter.
That's so we don't do any more months.
No, November could be the month where you guys don't include me in pizza.
Yeah, we can make that pizza
that could
month.
Be, that could be pizza month. Yeah, be great.
Rich.
Radio audience, 844-204-RICH, number to dial. We're back here on the Rich Eisen Show family of networks. So, it's amazing. You know, I've been at this a long time. I'm fortunate. So when it was time to, hey, do you want to interview Quentin Richardson and Darius Miles? Absolutely. They've got their podcast. It's season 5. It's called Knuckleheads. It's on the Players Tribune, which is a website that I appreciate, support. I'm like, man, I used to do their highlights when they were rookies together. I mean, Clippers in 2000, 2003, I was doing their highlights. So it was great to catch up with them on Zoom just yesterday when we chatted about everything going on in the NBA draft and their pod. Joining us here on the Rich Eisen Show are two guys whose highlights I used to do on the back end of my SportsCenter career. And here we are 20 years after their drafting, just 15 spots apart back in the day. Now teammates once again for a fifth straight year in their Knuckleheads podcast that can be found on the Players Tribune. It is Quentin Richardson and Darius Miles. How are you guys doing?
Good. Good. Glad to be here. Thanks for having us.
You got it, Quentin. Absolutely. I remember doing your highlights back in the day when you guys came up for the Clippers. It's like a reunion right now, the three of us.
Yes, it is. I remember it well as well.
Yes. So when you're getting ready for talking about a draft right now, what are your draft day memories? You first, Quentin. What was that like for you 20 years ago now?
Best day ever. Best day ever. I can remember, I was privileged enough to be able to go get invited to the green room. And for me, obviously, I got picked 18. I felt and I still feel today I should have been picked higher. So even though it was like getting drafted at 18 was tough for me, everything was kind of worth it once I saw I was going to the Clippers and I was going to be with my boy D Miles and it was going to be a lot of people there that I already knew. So for me, it was disappointing going that low, but it still was hands down one of the best days ever.
What about you, Darius?
Me, it was, like you said, one of the best days ever. Just leading up to it, just getting ready with putting your suit on and getting measured for your suit and all that stuff. I never got that done before. And, you know, everything was just a new experience for me. And, you know, the NBA is the biggest league ever. And, you know, when you go in that green room, you get to walk up on that stage and you get to shake Mr. Stern's hand. Man, it was just a dream come true.
Where is that suit now? Does it exist still?
Man, that's in the archives.
Couldn't tell you what
it's at. Q, you don't know where your suit is?
No, I can't say that we can stick our chest out and say we aren't one of those worst suit ever is on the draft day. We were cool. We were in the middle. We weren't trying to go crazy, but we felt comfortable and felt like we looked pretty good.
All right. Yeah. Now I'm mandated to ask who has that award, worst suit ever? Who's that?
Ooh, Jalen Rose.
Jalen Rose is up there with that red joint.
Jalen Rose. Ooh.
Neither of you stuttered. You both just spit out the same name at the same time.
That's crazy right there. Karl Malone had
yeah, Karl Malone was pretty interesting too.
Jalen, I forgot about that red one. I remember sitting there thinking to myself, what's he doing wearing Ohio State colors? Like, what's up? It's literally the first thing I thought. Like, what's up with that? Like, you know, I mean, he's his amazing blue through and through. I mean,
yeah, that was Detroit player status right there.
Exactly. So you guys knew each other, obviously, from the AAU days, right? That where did you guys first meet? Darius, do you remember, you recall the first meeting with you and Quentin?
I went to a spotlight tournament in Illinois. Our AAU coach invited me to it. It supposed to have been a top 100 in the state. And I got invited to it. I haven't played high school ball yet. I went to where I'm from, 7th through 9th was junior high, and 10th through 12th was high school. So that summer, he invited me to this top 100 camp. And I was doing real good. And first time I seen Q is he came over there and was like, who was this young cat dunking and all that stuff? And he was asking our AAU coach, who was I? And, you know, everything else fell through there.
That's when he was, what, 7th grade? I was in 10th grade.
Wow. How tall were you in the 7th grade, Darius?
I was 6-something. I was 6-something. Like, I know. My mom was 5'9", and I was her height in 4th grade. Like, 5th grade, yeah.
What? In 4th grade?
Yeah. So
Wow, I got Darius Miles and Quentin Richardson here. Who chose Knuckleheads for the podcast? Who chose that one?
It was a mutual agreement.
Yeah, it was kind of just like when we was coming up with it, it was kind of like, what are we going to call it? And then it was like, it kind of tied back into the whole thing, and it kind of just made sense. And it was like, it's kind of cool, you know what I'm saying? Like, one of my favorite guys that's on ESPN, Michael Wilbon, he always says, see you tomorrow, knuckleheads. And I always thought about that. And I was like, you know, it could be a cool little name.
Because I was going to ask you, because I remember all this.
And yes.
Am I doing it right with this part of it? Or is it okay. So I remember.
You're doing it right. Yeah.
All right. So this is, what was this? What was that? What's the genesis of
it? So the origin story of that is, like we said, when we got drafted, Darius was 18, I was 19. So we still were very much into high school basketball. We loved the AAU scene. We wanted to see whoever the top high school players, when they were going to play. Like, I'm from Chicago, big city, and I'm like, this LA, they got a lot of the best basketball players. So we wanted to see. And we began going to those games. And anybody that knows LA is like, D. Miles lived in Marina Del Rey, and our practice facility was L.A. Southwest Junior College. And literally dead in between there on the road going to and from on Lincoln is Westchester High School. So we kind of sparked up a relationship with those kids. This was Hassan Adams, Bottom, Big Red, Trevor Ariza. Trevor Ariza is the name. Bobby Brown. Trevor probably had the biggest career of those guys. But so he was a sophomore then when we first met them. And this was originally their celebration for this was something they did with their team. But we got cool with them, and they were like, yo, you know, we would go to their practice and stuff. They were like, yo, y'all should do our thing in the game if y'all get a dunk or something. So that's literally how it began. So we did it a game or so. And then when we came back the next game, the fans was like, yo, they wanted to, they encouraged and was like, keep doing it. So then it became, me and D was like, man, maybe we could get it on the video game, because back then they had to raise the roof on the video game for Cynthia Cooper and all that. So we was like, maybe we could get it on the game. And the first time, I think it really got big because one of the reporters asked Darius what it meant. And he gave him the old joke, like, I have to kill you if I tell you. Like, you know what I'm saying? I can't tell you what it, you know what I'm saying? And it kind of grew bigger because we never told him what it meant. But I don't know if it would have been as big a deal if everybody knew what it meant the whole time. But I think that's definitely the origin story. It really was those guys, Trevor Reese and his high school teammates. It was their celebration, and we kind of got it from them, representing them, and then it kind of took on a life of its own.
That's basically the way you remember it too, Darius?
Yeah, that's basically the way I remember it. We was representing them, and like I said, we did. We used to do it if we get dunks, and I was getting way more dunks than Q, so you start doing it for everything that he did, like a three-pointer or everything. So I was like, he doing it a little more than me. Let me do it a little more. Kind of like a momentum thing for our team, though. But you know, 20 years later, it's still a big thing.
20 years later, Darius Miles and Quentin Richardson here on the Rich Eisen Show. Again, right before the NBA draft and right after season 5 of your podcast, Knuckleheads, drops on the Players Tribune. Jamal Murray is your first guest. And man, I just loved every second of watching him play and just watching his star rise pretty much. And I know it came at the expense of the Clippers, but I wonder, what did you learn from him? I mean, what did you glean or learn, not from him, but in talking to him about him? What did you guys learn?
I think the whole league learned that he's one of them. Like now every team has a solid point guard. And now when you're going against the Steph Currys, you're going against them top point guards. Now Denver has a point guard that can compete with them point guards. And I think the whole league know that now.
Yeah, I think one thing I learned from him is, I mean, obviously I knew this already, but he was a picture of toughness being shown in different forms. Like, you know, a lot of people think toughness is when you see a big physical strong guy or a brute who can knock somebody down. But I think he and his whole team, to come back from 3-1 that many times, he showed toughness, perseverance, and determination. And then, as you said, obviously he put the entire league on notice that he's a superstar. And you know, right now, like not incoming, he's a superstar. He showed the entire league that he can close games. He can score 30, 40, 50. He could lead his team. He could bring his team back. He's a superstar.
All right, now let's try and spit a little truth here. Then why do you think the rest of the league reveled? You saw NBA Twitter just lit up when the Clippers went out 3-1. Why do you think the rest of the league seemed to really enjoy that loss of the Clippers? Why?
I think the expectation for them was so high. You know, the expectations in them were so high. And, you know, we're in a day and age now, you can't slip up like that. You gotta walk it like you talk it. So if you're going to talk it like that, you definitely got to walk it. So when the expectations, you didn't even make it to the Lakers, I feel like you deserve to get everything that you had coming.
Me, and you know, we Clippers guys, we Clippers homers and all of whatever you want to call it. So for me, it was I picked them to win a championship this year. And so I think it was a situation where I can't say them each to a man and call them out as a man individually, but as a team, it looked like they took everything for granted. Like it was a foregone conclusion. We're going to get to the finals. We're going to play the Lakers. We're going to do. It was like they were nonchalant about it in their effort for it, and that was what was shown. I mean, the glaring things were obviously they had a lot of injuries back and forth and people leaving the bubble and those things. But I mean, even still, it was kind of like their attitude. Where was the sense of urgency? I didn't see a sense of urgency out of them, and that was disappointing to me because I really felt like they had a team to win it.
Well, especially since at the end, you know, I know you said you don't want to call anybody out specifically, but so let me do that then. You know, I was particularly surprised to hear Paul George say afterwards that this wasn't going to be the year anyway, you know, that they needed some time to gel, or that you know, somebody who clearly was contractually there for at least only 2 years to say, well, there's more runway here. That one really surprised me. That one kind of took me aback after you lose 3-1 like that. What about you guys?
It surprised me too, but like, you know, I'm a diehard Clipper, so I want to ease up on them. I just feel like they just really didn't get the chemistry how they won. I feel like they was a very talented team, and just talent was beating a lot of teams that they was playing. When it came down to the X's and O's, the I know your play, we know your plays, and we got to play it out for these 7-game series, I feel like that caught up with them. You know, they had a lot of new players on the team, injuries, guys not there. And, you know, you got to have that chemistry. Guys got to be together. Guys got to bond. Like, every championship team has a special bond that season that they can never forget. It lasts the rest of their life. You could never forget this championship season we had together. And it's a different type of bond. And I feel like they just didn't have that and they didn't get the opportunity to get that.
Yeah, I think the evidence was in the changes that were made, man. I think when you have like I say, from the outside looking in, it looked like it was not a sense of urgency was lacking there. So, I mean, when you can't hold the players accountable, it goes to the coach. And that goes that it fell right in Doc Rivers' lap. You know what I'm saying? Like, rightfully or not. And I think it's a situation that kind of stamps it when you hear one of the star or lead players come out and say, this wasn't the year. Like, why would he be thinking that? You know what I'm saying? Like, if that should have been a – like, when you say that surprised you, it surprised me, it surprised D, that surprised everybody. I would expect his teammates to have, like, if somebody was sitting next to him to be like, what? Like, we was, like – that. And for me, in my mind, when I heard him say that, to me, that meant that the message, the battle cry, this, you know what I'm saying, the sense of urgency wasn't there. Like, that's a situation where he's saying, like, if you a championship-type team, if you listen to those Lakers, it was a battle cry. It's a togetherness. They all on the same page that this, the time is now. You can't have one of your top guys saying that this wasn't the time, or we had a, you know, we playing a long game or something.
Yeah. So how do you think Tyloo's going to rectify this or change it? How do you think his hiring, what do you think of it?
I think he don't care about none of that. I think he had an opportunity to see what was wrong, like, in a, you know, right there by being an assistant coach. I feel like he know what he has to change within himself. I like his coaching staff that he chose. There's a lot of wisdom and stuff in this, in assistant coaches. And I just feel like it's a new voice for everybody. It's a new start. They finna make a lot of moves, I think.
I agree. I feel like Tyloo, the best thing he has going for him is, like, obviously he's a championship coach and he's going to come in with a fresh voice. But he had front row seats to see everything that went wrong. He knows everything that needs to be corrected and everything that needs to be fixed and situated. He had front row seats to see that. So he has that inside look and that inside track. And he can go in with his ideas and his fresh thought process and say, this is how I'm going to approach this and right these wrongs or fix what's broken over here and over there. So I think he has a real good position on that.
So in the few minutes I have left with you guys, Quentin Richardson and Darius Miles, the Knuckleheads podcast, it's going to be on the Players Tribune for a fifth straight year. Just dropped yesterday, the fifth season, right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Before I let you go, let's chop up the idea that Harden wants to maybe join Kyrie and Durant in Brooklyn. What do you guys think of that? Quentin, what do you think of that idea?
Championship.
That's what you think, Darren. I mean, look, I think so too. But, you know, Nash being the coach, I don't know. I don't know if fans would like it either. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, it's a return to, I thought we were done with super teams, but maybe not. What do you guys think?
I'm excited for that. If that could happen, I'm excited for my main man, Steve Nash and Amari over there. Cause like D said, I mean, they already are, a championship caliber contending team in that little group. But I think if they get a James Harden, you add that to Kyrie and KD, that instantly puts them in that top one or two, three of positions for the championship odds. So for me, I'm excited from that standpoint. And, as far as all of the super team, I mean, everybody's still teaming up and banding together and doing those type of things. Maybe not three or four guys like with the LeBron, D-Wade, and Bosch. But, I mean, it's still a lot of tandems all over the league. So, I mean, I don't think it would be something that would be that crazy or that scoffed at. And, I mean, I don't think that would guarantee them a championship either. I think that would put them right there at the pinnacle of it. But, I mean, we all know that it's a lot that goes into winning a championship. So I think that would – like, I would be extremely excited for Stevie to be in that position in his first year.
Me and my friend was talking about today, if that combination happened, who will be the Chris Bosh of that?
That's a great question.
Who will be the person of that? That combo with Kyrie and KD and James, who would be the Chris Bosh of that combo?
That is a great question.
Because what you're implying, for those who might not be fully aware, is somebody's going to have to take a step back. Somebody's going to have to give up a couple shots here and there, certainly a little bit less than they're used to feeding.
The interesting thing in this dynamic is that the person who would probably be the most willing to take the step back is the person who shouldn't. he's the best player out of them all. Like, KD has the personality where he would probably say, hey, don't worry about me, but you the alpha. You the best player, so it can't be you that says that. So there's the scenario.
I think Kyrie will have to turn into a different type of point guard.
How so?
He more facilitate, more passing, and instead of, and we just need you to get them big shots when we need you. But it's not going to be, he's going to be the guy that averaged close to 20. I think KD and Harden should be the guys that average 25 or more. And Kyrie be the guy that averaged the 20 or the 18 to bag them up. And I feel like that's the championship recipe. I feel like if it be any other way, if you try to put James Harden in the third position, which is the best, probably the best scorer in the league, you trying to make him the Chris Bosh of any situation? What team can he go to when you make him a third?
Great question. So, and then I guess just wrapping up, pulling on this thread here, don't you think Nash, that would be obviously a major coaching task for him, but don't you think Nash would be able to talk to Kyrie about exactly what you're talking about? Don't you think he would be able to at least say to him, point guard to point guard, Bosh this up a little bit, you think?
Yeah, I think so. I think that's the reason that it's championship guaranteed. You got the guy that facilitates more than anybody, the guy that everybody wanted him to shoot the ball so much. And he's the guy that's trying to tell Kyrie, we just need this out of you to win the championship. And I think he'd have got to do it.
Yeah, for me, Steve, that's like if we were all like X-Men and we had superpowers, that's Steve Nash's super mutant power, is that he can make it work. Like, I watched him with our season with the Suns. It was me, Joe Johnson, Sean Marion, and Amari Stoudemire. And we, you know, everybody had their egos. And Sean was an all-star, highest-paid player on the team. I had just got a contract. Amari was coming off, was about to be a superstar, and Joe was just on the cusp of becoming who he became. So it was like Steve was amazing at being able to keep everybody's personalities and everybody's attitudes in check and made it work. So, I mean, I feel like if anybody has a great chance at doing that with this group, I feel like that's what Steve Nash brings to the table, and that's his special move.
And I guess since you did mention Phoenix there, I'd be – derelict if I didn't ask you guys what you thought about Chris Paul winding up in the same backcourt as Devin Booker all of a sudden. That sounds like a hell of a backcourt. What do you think of that?
Somebody don't got an easy first round bye. I know that much. They're going to face themselves in that first round, and it's going to be problems.
You saying that it's good enough, still just good enough for the 8 seed? Is that what you're saying? Seven seed?
I think they definitely going to be a contender. They're going to go through that 8-6 seed. And they're going to be a team that don't nobody want to play because they got one of the best scorers in the league, one of the greatest minds in NBA history at point guard. And you got some young guys like Aiden now backing that up. So I'm excited for them.
Yeah, I love that move for them. I mean, seeing the impact that CP made on that OKC team and just knowing that he could do the same thing for them and then reuniting him with his old coach, Monty Williams, has done an amazing job with that crew already. And I think he'll be for a further extension of the coach and he'll make it that much more better for that team. I think they should be extremely excited out there in Phoenix.
Well, guys, it was great catching up with you. It's been well over a decade and a half since maybe we crossed paths, and it's been a long time. So it's a pleasure chatting with you. Congrats on your fifth season of Knuckleheads Podcast, available on the Players Tribune, and new episodes available on Tuesday, all major podcast services and online at the Players Tribune website. Let's do this more often. If you guys are up for it, I'd love to do it too.
Anytime,
man. Congratulations to you continually doing your thing. And we've been seeing you forever and still see you. So congrats.
Well, you guys look the same. I might look a little bit. You guys are like the fine wine, you know. But good to see you guys. That's Quentin Richardson and Darius Miles. Knuckleheads Podcast, again, every Tuesday. Jamal Murray kicked off season 5 just yesterday, right here on The Rich Eisen Show.
Good chatting up with him. What a great question. Who would be the Chris Bosh?
Great question.
In that equation.
Great question.
And the one guy that he said that shouldn't be is the one with the personality that would be, yep. And that's Durant.
think they nailed
it. I love that. That was a that was an interesting twist on everything. We'll take a break. We'll empty the phone banks. We'll get you reset for a brother from another. And go down three more fake basketball movie draft profiles coming up. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling policies with GEICO. GEICO makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. And it's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to GEICO.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's GEICO easy. Visit GEICO.com today. That's GEICO.com.
Support for this podcast comes from Pluto TV. Ready to get away from it all? Free yourself with Pluto TV. Stream hundreds of channels and thousands of movies and shows all for free. Yeah, free. No contracts, no subscriptions, no fees. Imagine 24/7 channels of Narcos, CSI, Star Trek, Survivor, and everything else from hit movies to binge-worthy TV shows, the latest news, live sports, comedy, and more. What are you waiting for? Download the free Pluto TV app for Android or iPhone and start watching now. Pluto TV. Drop in, watch free.
To reveal the final results, and then we've got three more candidates that we left out. That we decided to come up with some draft profiles for anyway.
Yeah, I love that.
Going out the door.
So funny.
And setting up the rest of the week with our guest list over there. And Del Tufo's still wearing his Notre Dame hat. It's good to see you there, buddy. Okay.
Put me in, Rich.
Huh?
We put you in the game.
Put me in the pizza game.
Pizza game.
Got it.
Yep.
Well, what are you reacting to over there? What are you watching?
Some viral video that's being shown on ESPN right now.
About what?
Some dude put a
water bottle.
Water bottle on his head, and then his friend tried to kick a soccer ball and knock it off, and it bounced off the cameraman and then hit the dude in the Musburgers.
In the Musburgers, huh?
Yeah. Oh.
For those wondering on our Peacock stream, we refer to Musburgers as gonads. Yes. Back here on the radio. This is why sometimes you got to watch the Peacock stream.
Ballin'!
Well done. We'll just leave it at that.
Yep.
Leave it at that.
Yep.
Let's go to our phone lines right here. Sneak in one more phone call before we go out the door. Carmen in Mesa, Arizona. What's up, Carmen?
Hey! Hi, Rich. I'm going to do not hi, Rich. Just hi, Rich. Love you.
Right back at you. It's good to chat with you. It's been a while. What's going on?
Yeah. It hasn't been. You know what? I called you 5 years ago, and I said I was going to kiss you on the forehead. And maybe one day that will happen.
Well, the forehead keeps expanding.
And I love you, but I just want—I don't mean to interrupt you.
You just called.
Del Tufo, TJ.
Carmen, hey, Carmen, what up?
What up?
Where is the love for Rich?
Thank you,
guys.
Carmen.
Y'all didn't want to share.
Thank you, Carmen.
Gentlemen, I just want to say shame.
Yes, this is. Shame. It is like Game of Thrones. I agree with you. I absolutely agree with you, Carmen. Thank you for helping take them to task, because I'm still...
Don't tell Susie that I gave you kisses.
Thank you, Carmen. Thanks for the call. She says calls every five... She's called more than recently than 5 years.
I think she just said 5 years ago is when she said about the first time. Kathy calls like once a week.
Yeah. Well, I got my pizzas. Lou Malnati says they're going to send more. So
yeah, we
that.
Bought you pizzas today. So yes, you do.
Come out to the coast. Come on. Have a couple pizzas.
What are our final poll results over there, Christopher?
Okay, which fictional basketball player would make the best NBA prospect? Teen Wolf, Warren Coolidge, Jimmy Chitwood, or Sidney Dean?
Okay.
Teen Wolf, man. We're going with the high-octane guard.
I don't understand it.
48%.
Jimmy Chitwood, man. You dial up the plays for him.
I think I voted for Chitwood.
Dial up the plays for him.
30% for Jimmy Chitwood, 14% Sidney Dean.
Coolidge.
Only 9% for Coolidge.
And Jay Billis said he's the one with
one.
And Jay was on an episode of The White Shadow. He's seen Coolidge up close. He's seen the game. And ours, our draft profile is created by Sean Mitchell, doing a great job from a Rich Eisen show.
So well done.
His NBA comp is Ben Wallace with a Barry White voice.
Yeah, baby.
So we decided to come up with three more draft profiles.
A few more, yeah.
All right. Jackie Moon. Okay, here's Jackie Moon's draft profile from the Flint Tropics. He's a creative playmaker. He invented the alley-oop.
Oh.
Yeah, that's a good one. He's a 98% granny-style free throw shooter. He knows how to market. He's got a pet grizzly bear. That's a strength.
That's a, yeah.
That could be a, that could be a red flag, too, though.
Yeah.
Here are the red flags. Is he more committed to an R&B singing career? How committed to basketball is he?
Great question.
He doesn't seem to be a health nut.
He's holding a beer in his profile picture.
And then there's that red flag about the grizzly bear. The bear might maul you to death.
Yeah, that's bad.
And his NBA comp is he's a much less athletic Brian Scalabrine.
Oh, the white mamba.
Okay. Good one right there. To be fair and balanced, we've got to take the other half of white men can't jump.
Oh, yeah.
The white man who can't jump.
Right.
Billy Hoyle, he's a guard from some college ball.
Yeah, he played some college.
Okay.
College,
His game is ugly but effective. He's got confidence for days. And he can score. You know, so he's creative scoring. The question mark is, can he jump? Good one. Can he jump?
Can he jump?
The injury history, questionable ethics. Seriously, can he jump is right. The second.
Yeah,
big question mark.
It's such a big question mark. You've got to revisit it with two different bullet points. And his comp is Pete Maravich with a gambling problem.
I love that.
Okay.
Less hair, too. Less hair.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, we decided to put up this draft comp because, again, I think of everything in terms of pop culture. Like when we heard on the Monday Night Football game over and over and over again, the Bears offensive coordinator calling the plays was Bill Lazor. All I kept thinking of was Dr. Evil with the lasers.
Lazor.
So every single time I hear the number one overall pick in the draft is Anthony Edwards,
uh-huh.
I'm wondering, what if it was the Anthony Edwards not of Georgia, but of stage and screen and silver screen and small screen?
Oh.
So he came up with an Anthony Edwards draft profile.
Oh.
Played multiple roles. He's actually 6'2 from his USC.
Oh.
And he's 6'2. He's versatile. He can fly an F-15 fighter jet and perform emergency tracheotomies. Great wingman, as we've seen.
Oh, all right.
His bedside manner is tremendous, and he's a basketball nerd. Okay. Question marks. He tends to die tragically, which, you know, I mean, if you're going to invest a high pick, you got to make sure that's not a problem.
Of course.
Is he a sure thing? Okay. And his off-court influences, he was, in fact, Spicoli's friend way back in the day in Fast Times.
Oh, wow.
So that's a red flag because you go back and deep in history. His NBA comp is Alex Caruso without the huffs.
They missed one thing, though. He can sing.
He could sing too. Well. I mean, I guess if it's good for Coolidge, it's good for Anthony
Edwards. He plays that weird instrument, too.
That's true. Nerds.
So he's Alex Caruso without the hops, minus the hops.
And that might
be a bad comp. Might be a bad comp.
Not a good comp.
That's an Anthony Edwards. That's the other Anthony Edwards.
I really like that.
Draft profile. Well done, Smitch.
Those are fantastic.
Well done. The draft profiles are great. So you've done it for the NFL and now NBA.
Hockey next.
Well, baseball. Come on now.
Oh, baseball.
The baseball movies. Right? We could go down anybody from Major League.
We would have to do brackets. There's just too many baseball players.
Roy Hobbs would be a one seed, right?
Pedro Serrano.
Yeah. Tanner.
Wild
Bears.
Wild Thing.
Bad News Bears.
Yeah, Bad News
Tatum
Bears.
Tatum O'Neal. What was her name?
Fabulous. That'll wrap it up for this edition of the Rich Eisen Show. Kelly Leak
would have to be in there.
Maybe Henry Rowengartner.
That's for
another day.
But well done today. I want to thank Jay Billis, Kyle Brandt, Quentin Richardson, and Darius Miles, and Mr. Wonderful Kevin O'Leary to call in, teach me a lesson or two about running an operation of people who put me on the pay no mind pizza list. Enjoy the NBA draft tonight. Reese Davis, who's hosting it, is first up tomorrow. Jared Goff of your Los Angeles Rams playing Monday Night Football. He'll be on the show on Thursday as well. We'll take you to Brother from Another on Peacock in a moment, but for our radio audience, we'll see you on Thursday.
Hello, everyone. This is Eagles Hall of Fame quarterback Ron Jaworski, and I am so excited to bring you the hottest new podcast for the NFL and gaming. Welcome to Jaws Picks, featuring me, Ron Jaworski, and some of the most famous names in sports, music, and entertainment, as I give you my expert analysis and predictions of each and every NFL game. So far this season, my predictions are over 55% correct
against the spread.
That's a pretty good number, folks. And over 67% picking winners straight up. You do not want to miss out on this podcast. Every week,
I will tell you who, how, and why each NFL game will be decided. Take the guesswork and stress out of gaming and subscribe to Jaws Picks wherever you get your podcast. That's Jaws Picks wherever you get your podcast. Stay safe, take care, and let's make some beer money.